So I'm privileged to be here this morning. I'm a friend of this house. I'm a friend of this man. And I am privileged to be in this meeting this morning. This wasn't part of the plan, actually, that I would come and preach on this particular weekend. This kind of just happened as part of the deal. And I think Karin and I are coming back towards the end of October for kind of our official visit that we come every year. But here we are. And maybe this is all part of what God is planning for you as a church. Father, I trust you this morning that you would speak to us. There would be a stretching of our hearts. There would be an enlarging of our vision. That every person that has limited you in any way, in their thinking, in their heart, maybe they have felt a little back-footed. It's time to get on the front foot. It's time to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. It's time to open up our ears and our hearts to what it is you want to do, because there's much that you want to do. And so I pray that you would take this word and let it be part of the process that you would initiate in the life of this church, of walking with you, listening to you, obeying you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to talk about walking in step with the Spirit. Now, in recent times, I've been asking a lot of people to be more intuitive, to kind of listen more, to lean more into the prophetic. To hear God speak to us is really the heart of walking with God. That every person in this room, if you want to be out on the edge of the supernatural, if you want God to use you, you have to hear Him. You have to be obedient to what He says. And that's what this church is all about. That's the heart of New Day, that you would hear what He says and you would boldly be obedient to it. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" The tragedy of man's journey often is that we have a seeking God and a hiding man. God is seeking, man is hiding. And so many times in the life of churches, we have a God that wants to speak, wants to seek, wants to do, but we have a hiding man. I want to make sure no one is hiding today in this place. It's not that we hide intentionally. Most of us, I think, in the busyness of our lives, it makes walking with the Spirit difficult for us. We don't hide intentionally, but life crowds in on us and in a sense almost makes us hide. Graham Cook said this, "You stand in a puddle when I would give you an ocean." It's like there is an ocean possibilities with God, but we end up puddling. God wants to do more, which is why this is so important. Now, certain things drive agendas in our lives and in the life of churches, like unseen winds. Winds that we can't see. But if we don't lean into the wind of the culture, we end up drifting into things we don't want to be in. Legalism would be one. If we don't lean into the grace of God, we're going to naturally become legalists. We're going to drift into being hard and tough on things that God has actually forgiven us of. We need to lean into the grace of God. So this is the deal. If we don't lean, often many people are leaning into the physical world, or there's a wind from the physical world that drives a natural agenda for things that are not godly. And if we don't lean into the supernatural, we end up drifting into cerebral, kind of practical, very little supernatural happening in our lives, because there's a wind of skepticism in the world. And that wind of skepticism that says, prove it. So when that wind comes at us, we have to lean into that wind, because if we don't lean into it, what happens to God's people is we naturally just drift with the wind into a place of skepticism, and the very faith that we're to walk in gets squeezed out of us with realism and skepticism. Our first response often is there must be a natural explanation. And this sets us up for cerebral Christianity and a little skeptical of the unexplainable. It's an unseen wind that squeezes faith out of us. And if we're inattentive, and I do not want you to be inattentive as a church, I want you to be attentive. If you're inattentive, if you're not leaning in, what ends up happening is you end up drifting a little bit. And some of us get faith squeezed out of us. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." It's critical, therefore, that we choose to lean into what we don't understand. We can't lean into the flesh. We have to set our mind, we have to set our hearts on the things of the Spirit, because the natural drift of this world will take us into the natural, not into the spiritual. So you have to lean. The challenge we often have as God's people is that we only ever learn in the area of our lean. I'll explain that for a second, but you all have natural leans, things that are your thing. You believe certain things. Maybe some of you have a particular eschatological view of the scriptures. This is how it's all going to end. And guess what? You only ever read Tim LaHaye books and stuff like that because you're only ever learning in the area of your lean that you already have. So you're only ever reading stuff that fits that lean. You know, I don't know whether you know this, but there's a flat earth society. Did you know that? There are people who believe the earth is flat and that we are all deceived when we think the world is round. And guess what? They only ever listen to flat earthers. They only ever read stories and watch internet conspiracy theories about the earth being round, but it's actually flat. You see, this is the problem with us as believers. We have our little leans, and we're only ever learning in the area of that lean. You have a little bent in you. Maybe you have an Israel bent. And all you ever learn is in the area of your understanding about that. Or maybe you have a creation bent or a thing, whatever your bent might be. I want to encourage you as a local church that we need to learn away from the area of our lean, because it creates bias in us if we only ever learn in the area where we naturally lean. We have to read things. We have to open our hearts and lives to things that are not in the area of our lean so that we can grow. We cannot just have our natural leans reinforced. And this brings me back to the idea again that if we're not leaning into the things of the Spirit, we naturally drift into the cerebral, into the explainable, into the controlled. We have to lean against the natural wind in the world. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Note that it says by, not in. Very few times in the New Testament does it speak about by. It always talks about in the Spirit. But here it says by the Spirit. You see, most of the New Testament theology is in, because this is the idea. Once you're in, you have to walk by. First in, then by. First we are in Him, in Christ. Now we have to walk by the Spirit. The idea is illumination. The path we need to walk needs to be guided by the Spirit. Otherwise, we are not supernatural people. We don't lean into the supernatural life and power of God. And we're not guided by Him. We need to be guided by the Spirit. Now, we could be in Him and be out of step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Now, the original text here suggests that the Holy Spirit has a pace, and it's our job to keep up with His pace. I'm a tall guy, and so if ever you walk with me or walk fast with me, I have long steps, and so it's hard to keep up with me. Now, there's a little problem. I've been married for 33 years. So when Karen and I walk arm in arm or hand in hand, I have to shorten my steps. Otherwise, it's awkward. You know, you got this, you know, you married people. You know, it's like riding a horse and it's banging you every time you're riding. You know, it's awkward. So you got this awkward thing going on. So you have to learn to walk in step with each other. Otherwise, the walking thing together becomes awkward. Guess what's happened to my steps? After 33 years, I walk short steps. Take a walk with me. It's weird. Now, she's probably lengthened her steps slightly, but I've shortened mine over 33 years. So that, I'm a tall guy, but I'm kind of walking tall, short steps. Why? Because you're finding a rhythm. That's exactly what we need to do with the Spirit of God. He has a pace, a rhythm, and we need to find his pace over time. Learn to walk in step with the Spirit. Find the pace of the Spirit of God. Shorten your steps. Calm down. Some of us think it's all running. Actually, most of the time, I find the Spirit of God is telling me to slow down a little. To walk in step with him. I'm so busy with my own thing that I'm learning to shorten my pace a little and walk in step with the Holy Spirit. So I want to help you I'm a practical preacher. I think you figured that out by now. I want to help you today. I really do. My aim is to get all of us leaning into the things of the Spirit. I want you, New Day, to be a church that as God literally explodes you out. There are men and women across this auditorium today and in the second service and in the evening service that will say, we're taking up the charge. We're gonna slow our pace down. We're going to speed our pace up, whatever you need to do, but we're going to get in step with the Spirit. We're going to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, and we're going to lean into the supernatural life and let our lives not just be normal. Who wants to live a normal life? God bless you. Go to work, do your thing, eat 3 meals, hit 65, retire with too little money, try and squeeze out the remaining 10, 20 years, get in an old age home and die. Are you up for that? Is that a dream? It's not my dream. I don't want to do that. I want to live a life of adventure with God. I want to lean into the things of the Spirit. I want to, doesn't matter what my age may be, I want to walk with God in my life, in my normal life, this life. I want to lean in to the things of the Spirit. So there are a couple of overriding principles before I help you practically. My first is slow down a little. Pace is key to hearing God. The pace that often we run is too fast for the Holy Spirit to interrupt us. Our minds, our lives are just too busy. So the interruption of the Spirit is missed. We miss it. Because we're running at a pace that does not allow for interruptions. John Maxwell says, go fast and go alone. Go slow and arrive together. Go a little slower. The second overriding principle I want to give you is anticipate God. Be attentive. Be ready to be surprised. Isn't that a great idea? That God could surprise us. Rick Warren says, we often miss hearing God's voice simply because we aren't paying attention. We're not anticipating any surprise. Walking with a constant sense that God could interrupt my day opens you up to the possibility of God speaking to you. Normal life could hold all sorts of surprises for you. Let God speak into your life. The last overriding principle before I help you practically is we need certainty. The greatest challenge with believers is we have no certainty. We struggle. Is it my mind? Is it God? Is it the devil? We don't know. So we do nothing. Because we're not leaning into the Spirit. We struggle with certainty. And I want to help you with a little bit of certainty today. We need light on the matter. We do. So I'm going to ask for light number one to go on. Thank you. Now, if you could imagine that this was a lighthouse and I'm a ship and I have no particular GPS coordinates, I've got no way of figuring out where I am, but I've spotted the lighthouse. I have a problem. Can anybody figure out what my problem is? I could be going this way, could be the right way. But this way could also be the right way. I don't really know. Can you see the difficulty? So many believers are sitting thinking, oh, God has spoken to me. There's the light. But their position is uncertain. They don't know. They don't know whether that's, is that right? Is it wrong? Is it really God? Am I certain about what he's saying? No, you see, for us to have more certainty, we need another light. Light number two. On. Now that makes more sense. See, because now I've got two lights can line me up. I've got certainty about what the direction that I need to take is because there's more light in my life. It helps me. But what if I have a rogue light? My rogue light, number four. And you can face that light towards me. I have a rogue light over here, out of line. Now, many believers struggle with this because they seem to indicate that God is saying something to you, but then there is some left field stuff going on in your life, some light off to the side that's confusing you. I want to help you today, remember? So let's put up light number three, down the back. There we go. Now, if I have more certainty on the direction of God in my life, what can I do with the rogue light? Turn it off, sir. I can discount the rogue light and say, you know, that prophet had too many beans for breakfast. I'm just saying. It's not helping me. But there are lights that are helping me, the direction that's helping me, and I'm not uncertain because if I stand here, I'm thinking, no, that's not helpful. This is the wrong direction. Actually, here's my direction. This is helping me. So you can pull those down now for a second. You turn them off and stick them down. I'll maybe use them again one more time. So let me help you practically. When God speaks to you, and I want to help you with multiple lights in your life. So God's word to you. There are many people in this room. You have a sense, something niggling in your mind, something coming to you, whether it's a thought, an idea, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. You can make it more spiritual if you want, or less spiritual, it doesn't matter. You have a sense of something. An intuitive sense, God has said something to you. I got a word from God. But remember this, it's one light. Not going to help you much. God speaks today. If there are men and women sitting in this room that have never heard the voice of God, I want to say to you today, God speaks today and he can speak to you. And do not be one of those people sitting in church year in and year out, missing out on the adventure of the Holy Spirit because you never hear the voice of God. God speaks. It's not the only way that he speaks to you, into your mind, thoughts and ideas and impressions into your mind. It's not the only way he speaks, but he does speak. Revelation 2:7 says, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who has an ear. Develop your ear to hear. God's word comes to you. Even as I'm speaking, God could be highlighting something for you. That's specifically for you. It's coming into your mind. Says, that's for me. The second light that could come on in your life is prophecy. Now, I don't know whether I've ever told you about, I had a remarkable thing happen to me just recently. I think it was last year sometime. I may have told you, so forgive me if I've told you. I'll try and be brief. But I journal things a bit in a journal. I had a journal, and I had five questions I was asking the Lord. Five. One, two, three, four, five. In order. And I'm standing in Germany preaching in a church. They didn't introduce me, so the people in the audience who all knew me, it was my fifth visit to this church, so they kind of knew who I was. And an Egyptian woman walks up to me after the meeting and says, I have a word for you. You only speak Arabic. So her son is translating this ancient language. Allah, this and that, right? So she says, now I need to give it quickly because I'll forget. So I'm thinking, I'm just telling you. I'm thinking, this is a nutter. I'm looking for the pastor, thinking, come and help me. That's honestly what I'm doing. She starts with these words. The Lord has seen your questions, and today he wants to answer you. So now she's got my attention. And so she starts, and she says, question number one, like this. Question number one. And she quotes my question out of my journal. Now I'm looking for cameras. I'm thinking, somebody is pulling my leg. And she gives an answer to me. Question number two. She proceeds to quote all five questions out of my journal in order. Never in my life has that ever happened to me. And I've been around a lot of prophetic words. God speaks prophetically to people. Can speak to you. Maybe he spoke to you through the prophetic words that came earlier in this meeting. God speaks to his people. Acts 21:10 says, while we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. It's a pretty dramatic expression of prophecy from this prophet. We need light. You need help. And I'm telling you that a prophetic word is one light. It's not enough for you. It's not helping you. You need more. We need more light on this because we want to be led by the Spirit. We want to live. We want to lean into the things of the Spirit because God wants to explode us into the supernatural. So let's get more light. His word would be light. You see, we can't venture beyond the safety of the word of God. We cannot. So if you know, there's a whole religious grouping in the world called Moonies. Do you know that? You know what the Moonies did? You know that the leader of the Moonies, I think his name is Moon, probably. But anyway, I don't know. You know that the leader of this group, you know his dad was a Pentecostal preacher? He grew up in a Pentecostal preaching home, church. But he had problems. He wanted to marry more than one woman. And the only way that he could do that is create a religion that allowed him to do so. And so out of his depravity, welcome the Moonies to the world. Well, you see, there's a problem right there. When we violate the scriptures, it's not God. Never. It's easy. This is not complicated. You could have 20 lights. But if it's violating the word of God, all lights go away. It's not helping you. You see, because the scripture has to line up. You have to know that this is okay. God could be saying, no, you know, divorce the dog, marry someone else. It's not God. But Peter, how do you know he really is a dog? Because the scripture says you shouldn't do that. Work on it. Figure it out. Reform the dog. I'm just saying. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We cannot have light from the word if we're disobeying it. Can't have light from the scriptures. Provide light for your path. We need certainty that God is speaking to us. Number four, the counsel of a friend. Our friendships are a safety net to us. Who else is going to tell you that you're an idiot? I'm just saying, this is Edenvale. I can say idiot. Because sometimes I'm being an idiot. I just cloak it in a bit of religious language and my idiocy seems religious. That's still idiocy. Stop it. Pete, you're being stupid. Don't do it. We need friends to speak to us, to help us. I often say when certain preachers, I'm sure you have a couple of thoughts about me, which I'm not welcome to receive, but because I hear them from my wife. But certain preachers stand in pulpit, you think to yourself, yes, how many times is he going to touch his nose? He can't have a wife. Right? Who's saying, stop touching your nose. We need friends to tell us to stop being stupid. I'm just saying. Okay? Are you with me? We need his word. We need the counsel of friends. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people fails. But in the abundance of counselors, of friends, there is a safety. You're safe with friends. You're safe with people you can trust. I have known many people in my life who could have avoided lots of trouble if they had just bothered asking their friends. Oh, I got this great idea. Well, why didn't they ask their friends before they went ahead and invested 3 million rand? Because now the 3 million rand is gone. Because they never bothered asking. Don't be an idiot. That's a harebrained scheme. Don't invest. Oh, but I have a prophecy. One light. Not going to help you. Not going to help you. Listen to the counsel of friends. They will add more light to what God is saying to you. Number five, and I got a few more. A witness within you. I said this before to you as a church, that the will of God is like deja vu. It's like you were made for God's will. When you do it, it feels like, have I not been here before? It's like I was made for this. I was created for what I'm doing. This just feels right. Welcome to the will of God. Because he made you for something. When it feels wrong, it probably is. When it feels you're violating the peace and the rest of God in you, it's probably not right. So stop violating it. It'll just add darkness to your future. There will be no light. There will be no illumination to the path you need to walk because you're violating the principle of getting light on it by the witness, the peace that you have within you. And if you have none, don't do it. Unless God is pressing buttons for you and a whole bunch of lights are lining up and you've got a rogue thing out there, beans this morning, causing you to be a little restless. I'm just saying. Because God's speaking to you, but oh, I don't know what's going on with me. Tell yourself to calm down and walk with the Spirit. Because you've got a rogue light sitting out there. And you can't trust your feelings. But when your feelings line up with the Word, with the prophetic, with the thing that God has said, when it lines up, it gives confidence to you. Well, I can walk there because there is light there for me. Because it's a witness within you. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have his mind. Number six. I've kind of spoken about this already, but a restlessness in you. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Peace is a good sign that you're on track. And if you don't have it, stop. Number seven. I've got three more. Can we handle three more? Remember, I want lots of light. I'm trying to practically help you. Your spouse. Your husband, your wife. Do not dismiss what your spouse has to say on the matter. You're one flesh, and when you violate the oneness of who you are, that's a problem. My wife is not spiritual enough. She doesn't hear God the way I do. Careful. Don't violate the oneness that you have by dismissing each other. When it comes to hearing God and having light on things. Amos 3:3, do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? Can two walk together unless they agree? Is it possible? Unfortunately, I find many marriages where two people walk together and they don't agree at all. He's going in this direction, she's going in this direction. They can't trust each other. They can't trust the management of money, finance. So he hides all the money from her and she spends all the money and he doesn't tell her. She doesn't tell him. Or the other way around. What a load of nonsense. I'm just saying. You can handle that, right? Straight talk. You can't violate the oneness. You can't violate your agreement together. How can you possibly walk together if you don't agree? How's it possible? Two more. Eight, preaching. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Preaching can confirm and speak to you. When you sit here on a Sunday morning, it's not just to stick on your bib and say, feed me. And then when the rotation of preaching changes a little bit, and you got a guy like me, it's a good Sunday to miss. Or it's a good Sunday to come. What is that? When he's preaching, I kind of miss that one. Because we devalue the preaching of us together. Because God speaks to us in the preaching of the word. He speaks into our hearts. Every preach happening from this pulpit can direct you. It does not matter whether half or most of it was rubbish. But God can still speak to you. Don't stick on your bib like a kid and say, feed me every Sunday. No, pen in hand. Help me. Spirit of God, speak to me. There's stuff you want to direct me with. There are things in my life. I need your help. Speak to me. But most people put the bib on and say, go for it. Throw me. We cannot sit with that attitude if we want light on our path in our life. Lastly, authority. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey the leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. some have taken this to extreme, that nobody in some local churches can do anything unless they've checked with the leaders. That's nonsense. I'm here to set you free. You don't have to ask leaders whether you can do this or that. You've got to get light from God. But, and here's the but, surely it would be an advantage to you. Surely, to check with those who have to give an account for your life. It would be an advantage to say, hey, Greg, Nick, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, Julius, what do you think? Does this seem right to you? And Julius says, I'm just not sure about that. Surely that's good for you. Those that should give an account for your life. Now don't take that to extremes and think that the church has to control everything. No, can I do this? Can I go there? Must I move there? No. It's just about control. This is not about control. It's about what's good for you. It's about getting light onto your path so that you have confidence in obeying God. I want to throw one more in just for good measure. It's like an extra. Common sense. Man, have I watched people just throw common sense out the window? And I think to myself, when I listen to God, when I look at the scriptures, when I look at the plans of God, it's just so right. It seems so to make sense. Sometimes we violate all sense. Think, oh, God has said. Acts 15:28 says these words, "For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." I like the Holy Spirit and to us. It just makes sense to us that we shouldn't do this to you. It's not always, but I've often found God's voice mostly does not violate common sense. That if what you want to do makes no sense at all, you need more light. It could just be beans in the breakfast. And it's not helping you. It's taking you down the wrong path. Oh, I have a prophetic word. Stick it up. Nick, I have a prophetic word from God, Mr. Beans, man. And God has spoken to me. There it is. That's where I need to go. Well, it doesn't make any sense at all. It would be much better if we got more light on the matter. Number two and number three, turn them on. And God's word is confirmed by those in authority over us. God's word is confirmed by us not being restless, by your spouse, by preaching, by authority, by his word, by the counsel of friends, a witness within you. You don't need all of those, but it would be helpful if you had some. Surely, you can see that it would be helpful for you to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. I want us to walk in step with the Spirit. I want our lives as a church here, New Day, as God blows you out, throws down walls, and expands you, I want the idea that we're in step with the Spirit. There's lots and lots of light on our path. For your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I walk with confidence. I'm hearing from heaven the prophetic, the word, the sense, the peace in me. I have confidence. I want every person in this room to hear from God. And I want you to have confidence that he's speaking to you. And this morning should have helped you.